Hi, I'm David Fettis, and this talk is about categorical logic. Categorical logic involves categorical statements, and a categorical statement is a statement about a category or a type of thing. And categorical logic is the logic that deals with the logical relationships between categorical statements. So you have statements made about various categories or kinds of things, and categorical logic describes the relationship between those categories. And categorical logic doesn't exactly fit with propositional logic, the kind of logic that we've been looking at in some previous talks. Propositional logic isn't adequate to express an argument like this. All humans are mortal. All mortal things die. Therefore, all humans die. If you use just propositional logic and its methods for that, it can't show that. But if you look at it, you just intuitively know by informal tests of validity that that's a good argument. All humans are mortal. All mortal things die. Therefore, all humans die. So when we think about categorical logic, we are dealing with something that's a little different than what some of the propositional logic had been like. Categorical logic uses as its two main logical terms all and some. And when you're dealing with categorical logic, you use capital letters to stand for categories of things, not for atomic propositions as you do in propositional logic. So, if you say all humans are mortal, the way of expressing that in categorical logic is all H are M, where H is things that are human and M is things that are mortal. So all humans are mortal is expressed as all H are M. Now when we use categorical logic, a good tool for helping us to understand it is a Venn diagram. And a Venn diagram uses circles and uses overlapping circles to show the relationship between different categories. In the case of the statement that all humans are mortal, you have two categories, the category humans and the category things that are mortal. And then you look at the intersection of those two categories. Now, in this Venn diagram, you'll notice that the category humans is entirely shaded or blacked out except for the portion that overlaps with the category things that are mortal. That's meant to show that anything in the human category that's not mortal doesn't exist. The entire portion of the not mortal area of humans is blacked out because all humans are mortal. And so the only humans that exist will overlap with the category things that are mortal. Now you'll also notice that the circle things that are mortal has areas that don't include things that are human. And of course there are cats, dogs, bears, lots of kinds of animals that are mortal that aren't human. So that part of the category things that are mortal doesn't have to include humans in order for it to have other things. But the blacked out portion of the category humans means that there are no humans that don't overlap with the category things that are mortal. All humans are mortal would have this Venn diagram. There are four basic categorical forms, and those are expressed using S and P as your constants when you're talking about the general rules. S is the subject term for the subject category. P is the predicate term for the predicate category. And so you've got four of these. All SRP. That's a universal affirmative. No SRP. That's a universal negative. Some SRP is a particular affirmative. And some S are not P is a particular negative. Here are examples of each of those. All humans are mortal. All SRP, that's the form. No reptiles give live birth. No reptiles are among the things that give live birth. Some birds are taller than 6 feet. So that takes the form some SRP, where the category P is things that are taller than 6 feet. And then finally, some birds don't fly, or to take the more classic form, some S are not in the category birds that don't fly. Some S are not P. So you have those four categorical forms. And when you're dealing with the English language, you need to translate to categorical. And when you do that, you need to translate so that each term is a category and that each term is a noun in particular. So if you take the statement, all humans are mortal, mortal is actually an adjective. So you have to translate that to be a noun. All humans are things that are mortal. That's a category. That's a noun category, things that are mortal. So you translate no reptiles give live birth as no reptiles are things that give live birth. Because, again, giving live birth is not a noun. So you use the word things and you're using it to describe a category. Again, a proper name would not be a category. So you're using a noun and it's a noun that describes a category of things. That's what you're doing when you're translating into categorical logic. Now let's look again at the Venn diagrams. The Venn diagram for all SRP, a universal affirmative, is something that we've already looked at. All humans are mortal. So if you have a Venn of all SRP, then you black out the part of S that's not included in P. And you have the entire circle of P is open because you're not saying anything that all P have to be S. You're just saying all S are P. And therefore, the S that's not blacked out has to overlap with P. That's how you use a Venn for all SRP. The category humans is blacked out except for the portion of it that overlaps with the category things that are mortal. How do we do a Venn diagram for no SRP? Well, where the two circles of the categories overlap, you black that out. That means that there is no overlap between the two categories. No SRP, no reptiles give live birth. So if you have the category reptiles and the category things that give live birth, there is no overlap between them, and therefore you black out the overlapping part of the Venn diagram. Anything that's in the category reptile does not at all overlap with things that give live birth, because reptiles lay eggs. They don't give live birth. Some SRP. How do we represent that in a Venn diagram? How do we represent a particular affirmative? An example of such a statement would be, some birds are taller than President Obama. Well, to show that, you don't have anything that's completely blacked out because you have the word some. And some means that no part of it is completely shaded. All you're saying is that some things that are in the category S are also in the category P. Some birds, some things that are birds are also things that are taller than President Obama, perhaps a large ostrich. And so in the area of the overlap of the two circles for some SRP, you put an asterisk. And that little asterisk represents the fact that at least one item, and maybe more than one, but at least one item is in both categories. The categories overlap and have something in the overlapping area. Some S are not P is the particular negative. And an example of that is some birds don't fly. So if you have two categories, birds and things that don't fly, and you draw the Venn diagram, you're not saying anything about the overlap. It's possible that some birds do fly. It's possible there are things that fly that aren't birds, such as bats. But what you're saying with this Venn diagram is that you know the fact that there are some birds that don't fly, so there's at least one bird that can't fly. And so you put an asterisk in the area of the category birds that doesn't overlap with things that fly. Now, if you wanted to say all birds fly, you'd have a different Venn. But if you're saying some birds don't fly, some birds are not in the category of things that fly, then you put the asterisk in the category birds, but not in the area that overlaps with things that fly. That's basically the four kinds of Venn diagrams that you use for these four categorical forms. All SRP is a universal affirmative. No SRP is a universal negative. Some SRP is a particular affirmative. Some S are not P is a particular negative. And those are four major categorical forms that we use in categorical logic. We'll get more into Venn diagrams in future talks and future exercises. But an important part of categorical logic is simply translating in the first place into nouns and into categories. Here's a statement: nobody loves me but my mother. Now, what are the two categories in this statement? Nobody loves me but my mother. Well, things that love me is one category, and things that are my mother is another category. It sounds a little strange to say things that are my mother, but remember, we need to translate into categorical logic and a noun. Well, my mother's a noun, but not a category. It's not an entire category. It's a specific thing or person. And so my mother isn't a category, and in order to make mother, my mother, a category, we call it things that are my mother. So you've got two categories: things that love me and things that are my mother. What's the relationship between those two categories? The relationship is all S are P. All things that love me are things that are my mother. Now, that's a very strange way of saying it, but when you're trying to state things in terms of categorical logic and what fits in one category and what doesn't in another, and you're using these statements, all SRP or no SRP or some SRP or some S are not P, then you have to be able to translate into this kind of awkward language. So you come up with a simple statement, nobody loves me but my mother, being turned into the categorical logic statement, all things that love me are things that are my mother. Hey, that sounds almost better, doesn't it? Nobody loves me but my mother. Sounds so sad. All things that love me are things that are my mother. Sounds so much better. Well, translate carefully. The baboon is a fearsome beast. Now, if you think of the baboon, it sounds like it's just a noun speaking of one baboon, but the English language is kind of a funny thing. When you say the baboon, what you really mean is baboons in general are fearsome beasts in general. So what are the two categories? Baboons and fearsome beasts. And what's the relationship between the two categories? If you say the baboon is a fearsome beast, you're saying all SRP. All baboons are fearsome beasts. So when you're doing categorical logic, one of the first things is to translate an English sentence and make sure that the categories are indeed nouns that are categorical nouns, where you're talking about a category of things. And once you have done that, then you can get more into the various operations. Some are, some aren't, all are not, the Venn diagrams, all of that. So we're going to have some practice translating as an exercise, and then we'll get more into Venn diagrams and more of the operations of categorical logic.